We're going to focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. You know, somebody once told me that essential oils will solve all my problems. I tried it, but my car still doesn't start. You know, a word that's been really been thrown around a lot in the last few weeks and few months is this idea, this word of essential. And, you know, essential worker, essential business, are you essential, are you non-essential? And many of us have had to go through kind of a classification. And for some, you kind of feel a sense of pride when finding out that you are essential in what you do. And some of you kind of have felt kind of I'm not essential. We're actually pleased that just recently our county has changed its decision in regards to the classification of churches, that churches are essential. They're no longer on the non-essential list. But to understand essential, we really need to break down what does essential mean. The definition of essential is this: something that is absolutely necessary and extremely important. Now, if you're really trying to figure out if the work that you do is essential, I got a tip for you, a hint, a way to figure this out. You see, at the end of the day, the amount of battery left on your phone is probably proportional to how much you work that day. That was a joke. You can laugh. There are people in the room with me today, and I just, you know, for a moment, why don't we cheer and let the people know who are watching online with us that we're glad that they're with us here. Let's just clap for them, cheer for them. Right. We are glad that you have joined us. This is a great day, and you know, really, we're actually beginning a new series today that we're calling The Essentials. You see, God, when He put together the Bible for us, which is our kind of our all-sufficient guide for faith and living, He put in it the stories of certain people who have lived in history, or as I like to call it, His story. And there was a reason why these people's lives are included in the Bible. For some of these people, we only get to experience part of their story. For others, we experience all of their story. Their entire lifetime is included in God's word. And so why would He do that? Why would He include these people's stories? Why would they be determined as essential? You see, we're going to spend the next few weeks discovering this, looking at the stories of some of these people who God has deemed essential, that we hear what happened in their life, that we hear what their life story is. And I believe that it's not just a good story about yesterday or yesteryear, but really that there are aspects of their lives and their stories that apply to our walk and our following Jesus today. You see, I believe in the end that we're all meant to be essential followers of Jesus, but I think there's a lot to learn from those He's deemed as essential that are a part of His word. Today, we're going to be kicking it off with this essential, a guy by the name of Noah, of which everyone, when they heard that we're talking about Noah, thought, hey, does that mean our worship leader Noah is going to be a part of this? And no. He doesn't. We asked if he would speak today, and his response was, I don't know what I was going to say. So, it was a bad dad joke. He says he's still working on it. There you go. Now, if you came today looking for hope, looking for peace, looking for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some really good news for you, because there is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to open up your Bible app. We're going to be reading out of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6. You can also open your paper Bible and whatever you have with us. You see, let me tell you something special we're going to do for this series. We're going to give you part of the passage, part of the story, but we're also going to leave you each week with where to read the whole story. And so I just want to tell you right now, you've got homework. You need to, in the next week and probably before Throwback Thursday, you need to read the entire story of this essential character of Noah. But where we're kicking it off today is in Genesis chapter 6, reading out the New Living Translation. And it says this: verses 5 through 8. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Let's pray. God, I pray that in the next few moments as we unpack your word for today, God, as we look at the story and the life of this essential person, Noah, God, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would help us to grow in you today. In Jesus' name we all said,
amen.
Amen. That's right. You know, as we begin to unpack part of Noah's story, as we're discovering it today, we're actually going to be looking at three things that make him essential or make him pertinent to our life story and how we follow God. So who is Noah? Noah is a guy who lived a long, long time ago. We find his story in the very first book of the Bible, in the Old Testament. The Bible describes in chapter 5 of Genesis that his dad's name was Lamech, and that Noah's name means rest. And we look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. It gives Lamech's reason for calling him Noah. And it says this, when Lamech was 182 years old, he had a son. He named him Noah, saying, this one will give us a break from the hard work of farming the ground that God cursed. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing. He had some kind of foresight. He had some thinking as to what was going to happen with his son and a break. Now, we have the opportunity many years later to know that break would be that he would be holed up in a boat with a bunch of animals and nothing would be on this planet. There'd be lots of water and he'd spend that time as a whole year. But Lamech didn't know this. He just knew, my son's going to bring rest. We're not going to have to do any farming this year. Oh, man. Now, in verse 32 of chapter 5, it says, when Noah was 500 years old, he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his three boys. And the Bible describes in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, that Noah was a good man, a man of integrity in his community, and that Noah walked with God. You see, when we're looking at the three things that make Noah essential, the very first thing is that Noah knew God. He had a relationship with him. This was the building block that made Noah essential. He knew God. He walked with God. He was with God. And we just heard from God what God thought about this planet and what he thought about the people living on this planet and how they lived and how they were thinking and how awful everything is. And think how bad it would have to be for God to say, I want a mulligan here. I want a do-over. I'm going to wipe everyone out and just start all over. I think it would have to be really bad. And yet in the midst of all this evil, in the midst of all this bad stuff going on, there was still a guy who knew God, served God, walked with God, and loved God. Sounds like the beginning of a cool movie trailer, right? In a world where everything was evil, where everyone was bad, there was one man who still loved God. Yeah. Oh man, one guy, think about this. All the people on the planet and there was just one guy that God could find. And this is kind of a beacon of hope, a bright shining light that as God was looking over everything and seeing evil, as he's seeing bad, he was saying, oh, but there's a light right over there. There is one person who still loves me. There is one person who still serves me. There is one person who still follows me. You know, I think you might would agree with me that, you know, we don't live in the greatest of times, and there is evil everywhere, and the thoughts of men go to evil, and there is bad stuff that happens all the place, and maybe it's just like the days of Noah. And imagine if when God is looking right now, if he was looking right now over everyone of this whole planet, if he was thinking thoughts of, you know what, this is the end, I'm done, I'm through, if he was looking all across the land, if he was looking all across America, if he was looking in Wisconsin, if he was looking in Dane County, if he was looking for somebody that would follow him, would he find you? You see, for Noah to be someone who loved God meant that he had to do it in spite of culture. He had to do it in spite of what was going on. He had to do it in spite of what everyone thought about him. And he caught God's attention. And my hope and prayer is that we, as we follow God, that we could be considered essential like Noah, that we would be that bright shining light, that we would be someone that God said, you know what, I'm done with this city, but there is, insert your name, he loves me, she loves me. And if you're watching today, if you're here with us today, if you would say, I'm not sure that God would find me right now, well, there is good news, because that can change starting today. Today can be a day where that all shifts for you, where God would say, there they are. There she is. There he is. They follow me. Now, Noah didn't just know God. Noah also obeyed God. And that's our second thing we're looking at that made him essential. You see, I think, personally, it would be very helpful if we were told about what was going to happen before it even happened so we could prepare ourselves. Wouldn't it be easier to make decisions today if we know what tomorrow was going to bring? I think so. Now think about right now. I mean, who would have ever guessed back in the beginning of 2020 that we would have a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic? I don't think we'd ever imagine in a million years this is where we'd be and, you know, things that we've taken for granted and things that we are experiencing. And I actually had to laugh because there was somebody who decided in their spare time to make a video of themselves revisiting themselves from the beginning of the year to warn them about what's coming next. And let's go ahead and watch it right now.
Oh, whoa. Who are you?
I'm Julie from 4 Months in the Future.
Actually? Are you here to tell me what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because of the butterfly effect, I can only really give you some loose details, but we'll go through the basics, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, good news?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great choice. Yeah, cool. So, things have never been better for climate change.
Oh, that's great.
Dolphins in the Venice canals.
Really?
I know. Well, I mean, I saw it on Facebook. I don't know if it's a real thing. My aunt posted it, but it seems pretty legit. Oh,
okay. Well, that's incredible. You know, especially given the Australian wildfires.
The what? Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, those are pretty, like, I think those are going to be the defining feature of 2020.
Yeah, you'd think.
Oh, no?
Not even a little bit.
Really? Wait, because they're a pretty big deal.
Yeah, your definition of a pretty big deal is going to change, for sure.
Wow. Okay, so what is the bad news then?
You are going to want to pull all your investments.
What?
Yeah, get everything out of the stock market. Ugh, get it all out.
Oh, it's a recession.
You know what? Put a little money in Zoom.
Isn't that a conferencing app?
Yes, trust me.
Okay, while we're being proactive here, actually, if you could just do a Costco run real quick. That's gonna save you a lot of hassle.
Costco.
Do you have any hobbies? You know, just something to keep you busy?
Not really.
You should get a dog.
I want a dog. You know I want a dog. I just, they're a lot of work, and you've gotta walk, you gotta go outside with them twice a day.
Right, the walks are gonna be clutch.
Right, but I mean, I have to leave them because I have so much travel coming up.
Oh. Oh, no, you don't.
But yeah, I travel for work.
Oh, you won't be working.
But how do I afford stuff?
Do you take vitamins or juice?
No.
Okay, it might be a good time to just, you know, get that body in tip-top shape. Get strong. Get those lungs a-pumping. You know, cardio, little aerobic.
What's gonna happen?
Look, I know it all sounds scary, but it's really not that bad, you know. For you, right. I mean, for some people, it's not. But for you, it's really not bad. Would you rather be in a busy shopping mall or at home on the couch watching Netflix?
The couch?
Exactly. You're gonna be just fine.
Okay.
What do you know about the world of big cats?
Oh, if we only knew how life was going to change in just a few short months, and really, God had looked over all the land and he decided he wanted to wipe everything out, to start all over. He made a decision he was going to do this, but he also, because he found Noah and because he found that Noah loved him and Noah followed him, that Noah knew him, he decided to give Noah some advanced info. And in Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 13, this is what God said to Noah. He said to Noah, "It's all over. It's the end of the human race. The violence is everywhere. I'm making a clean sweep. So build yourself a ship from teak wood. Make rooms in it. Coat it with pitch inside and out. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Build a roof for it and put in a window 18 inches from the top. Put a door in the side of the ship and make three decks, lower, middle, and upper. I'm going to bring a flood on the earth that will destroy everything alive under heaven. Total destruction." As God was laying this out for Noah, he was communicating, saying, "Hey, here is what's coming." He also not only told him, "I'm going to wipe everything out," he didn't just tell him, "Hey, I'm just sending a flood." He didn't say, "Hey, you know, this is just information." He also gave him instructions of what to do, to build a big boat, to put things in it. But he also made a promise to Noah. He said, "I'm going to save you, your wife, your three sons and their wives. And I'm going to save animals, two of every kind." You know, I don't know about you, but those are some weird instructions. Those are some things that didn't normally happen. I mean, he was being instructed to build a boat on dry land for a flood that was going to come, and they'd never seen a flood that was really that high. And you'd have to think that Noah, as he got this information, this weird information, this really insightful, but really was it going to happen kind of thing, you have to wonder, what did he think about it? What was he going to do with it? And in verse 22, the Bible says that Noah did everything that God had commanded. Now, we have the benefit of having 20/20 hindsight, meaning that we can look back or we can read ahead in the story. We can look at it and say, "Oh, yes, it's a good thing Noah did everything that God told him to do, because yes, the rain came down and the waters went up and they went really high. It's a good thing he listened. It was a good thing he obeyed." But, you know, just like Noah back then, today we don't get the benefit of knowing the future when we need to obey in the present. You see, if God has told you to do something, do it. You don't know what you don't know. You need to trust that God knows more than you and that he wants the best for you. You see, the story of Noah is relevant to you and to me because his story parallels our story. You see, the fact of the matter is that there is life after death. depending on what we do and the decisions we make in this life determines where we're going to be in the next life, and that there is a heaven and there is a hell. There are very real places, and you will be at one of them. But even though there is an end, and even though there is a next, and even though that can seem very black and white, and it can seem like, wow, that's doom and destruction that is coming, there is hope. You see, because God has provided a way for rescue, a way to make sure we have the upper end and not the lower end. You see, in John 3, chapter 16, says this. Chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 says this. This is how much God loved the world. It's you and me. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go through all the trouble of sending his son to merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. See, God has made a plan and he has made a way. God gave Noah instructions of what to do. And God has given us a plan, saying that there is a tomorrow and there is life after that. And you have the opportunity to be with him in heaven, or you are going to experience something so awful we can't even begin to describe. And this is real. This is real information. We can sit back and say, you know what? That seems a little too harsh. It seems a little too unrealistic, and maybe it's not really like that, and does anybody really even know? And think, Noah could have done the same thing. He could have said, you know what? A flood that's going to flood everything, kill everybody, and no one's going to survive, but just me and my family, you know. That seems so far-fetched, and maybe it'll never happen, but we have to understand one thing here. The source of Noah's information was God. And the source for the information about what happens next is also from God. See, we've got to decide who we're going to believe. Noah, he took that information and he began building. Now, it's estimated that it took him about 75 years or so to build the ark, or this big boat, to gather the materials, the resources. He did it with his sons. And can you imagine a period of time that long of doing something without a hint that any of it's going to be true? You see, I also want to say that in addition to that, God has told you to do something, to do it, that if you are doing what God's told you to do, don't stop till you see it to the end. Noah had to wake up each day. He had to go to work each week. He had to do month after month of hard labor. He had to get resources. He had to pull things together. He had to explain design to people. He had to keep on having his kids engaged. And kids are the best at wondering why we do the things that we do. I showed my son, my middle son, the logo, the graphics for the Essential, and he's like, Dad, that's so cool. And I'm like, what does it say? And he says, The Essentials. And I'm like, but did you notice anything was missing? He looked, he's like, no. Oh, wait. There's two letters missing in the logo. And then his quick response was, I guess they're not essential. Yeah. But sometimes kids look at what we're doing, regardless of what we're doing, they begin to question why we do the things that we do. And I can imagine it's the same thing for Noah and his boys, but they kept at it. They still did it. Now, the real question is, what are we going to do with the information that we have? You see, just as clear as Noah had a message from God about what was coming and what he needed to do about it. We have just as clear a message from God about what is coming and what we need to do about it. And if we were reading the whole story of Noah, and we're reading chapters 5 through 9 in Genesis, which again is your homework assignment this week, to read the whole thing, to see why God would include Noah as an essential in his story. We miss a part in the story about what did Noah do with the information. See, because I think there's a critical thing that happens here that took place that we maybe can wonder about, but we need proof to find out what did Noah do with the information. All we have at the moment reading in Genesis is that he built the boat, that he did as God commanded him to do. But you have to wonder, did he care about everything that was going to happen? Did he care about the other people? And here's what we do know, what Noah did with this information. He warned others. Now, the reason we know this is because in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, says this, "And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood." Noah warned them. He cared to share why he was doing what he was doing. He cared to warn of, hey, this is coming. He didn't stop doing what he was doing. Even if no one else joined him, he was going to do it because he had heard from God. And I think we can make a mistake here in following God that's real easy to do. And if we were just looking at one part of this, we can say, hey, Noah got a message from God, he got a way to be saved, and he did it, and he didn't care about anyone else. But we know from Scripture that he did. And it's really easy for us that when we have heard the salvation message, when we have accepted that on a personal level, that God loved you so much that he put together a plan to save you, we take that sometimes and we say, I'm glad I'm safe. I'm glad I'm okay. I'm glad God's going to provide for me. I'm glad that God's got me. And do we even care about anyone else? You see, I have this picture in my mind about really one of my biggest fears. And my biggest fears, I got some pretty big fears. You know, one of those fears is snakes. I just cannot stand snakes. If I was to have a nightmare, it might include snakes in it. But bigger than that fear of snakes is something totally else, and that is that one day I'm going to get to be in heaven, and there are going to be people who are not in heaven, and they're going to see me in heaven, and they're going to say, Ryan, you knew that this was coming, and you didn't tell me? You didn't care? And to me, that's one of my worst nightmares, because I didn't care enough to warn somebody. Now, if I warn them and they do nothing about it, that's on them. But they don't even know, and I could have done something, that's on me. You know, in the end, God did send the flood. He brought water up from the ground. He brought water from the sky. And the Bible describes that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the water got so high that it went 22 feet higher than the tallest peak. The water engulfed the entire planet, and everything was killed except for those who were in the boat with Noah. And they were adrift for over a year before they settled, and the water had receded. One day God opened that door, and they were able to be free from that ship. God made a promise to them. He sent a rainbow. He said, every time you see that rainbow, know that I'm promising to you and everyone's to come, I'm never going to destroy the earth with a flood again. And again, I invite you, read the entire story for yourself of what took place. It's amazing. It's interesting. But as days have dragged into weeks that have dragged into months of this period of time that we're in with COVID-19. It can seem like it's a long time, and it can seem like it's a short time. And I can just imagine what it was like to experience the turmoil of all that rain in 40 days and 40 nights, and think about that, of sitting adrift in a boat that has no oar, has no motor, has no direction, doesn't know where it's going, being blown around, around this planet, on water, adrift, for over a year. They still had to hold on to that same faith they had as they were preparing, as when they were experiencing. So no matter where you are at in this timeline, no matter where you are at in what God's asked or called you to do, don't lose hope or sight of it was God who placed you on this path. It was God who directed you. It was God that revealed something about the future for you. It was God that gave you direction. It was God that led you to where you are at. And sometimes it may be tough, and sometimes it may be hard, and sometimes it may seem like, where's God, and why are we even doing this? And I wish it was way back to where things were the way they were before. But we've got to hold on to God's in charge, and He knows what He's doing. In the end, Noah's included in Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as the Faith Hall of Fame. And it says this about him. It says, by faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. Now, Paul was writing this, or we believe Paul was writing this. He was writing about the pioneers of faith who are looking at what we are doing with our faith now. And Noah is one of them. And this writer of Hebrews writes this to you and to me in response to Noah's essential story, his story of believing God, acting on God, and his family being saved. He says this, Hebrews chapter 12. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Noah was essential. It was important that we hear the story of Noah, that we know the story of Noah. It's important that we apply what he did and what he revealed to us about God into our own relationships with God. It's essential we learn from this. So I'm going to invite you right now to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take a moment to talk to God about how this affects us. So dear God, thank you for deeming Noah's story as essential to us, for making it possible for us to know and understand what he did, how he followed you. Not just the fact that he knew you, but that he obeyed you. And when you revealed information about incoming and impending doom, he did not keep it a secret from anyone, but he shared what he knew. And now, God, he's a witness as to what we're going to do and what we are doing as we follow you, as we follow you in faith. God, I pray right now that we would be challenged today by Noah's story. God, first that we would know you, Lord, that we would stand out for you, God, that if you were looking over our land right now, that the same way that you found Noah in the middle of a world full of evil, God, I pray that you would find us as well. Lord, that you would just stir into our hearts, into our character, into our minds, into our lives, that you are essential to us, that a relationship with you is essential to us. God, it's not just about knowing you, but it's also about obeying you. And through the course of these few moments that we've been together this morning, God, if you have brought something to our mind, an area that we need to listen to you, an area that you have given us instruction about where we were to go, what we were to do, what we were to say, who we were to talk to, God, I pray that you would spur it into us, that we're to do it. God, that we would be inspired, that we would recognize we need to obey you, that when you guide us, that it is from you, that even if we don't understand, and even if we don't comprehend, and maybe even if we're not sure, that God, we take a step forward because we trust you. God, don't let us keep this message of salvation to ourselves. But you have picked us. You have deemed us essential to your plan. You have deemed us as essential workers to help others find you. God, we may be the only Jesus that many people see. So God, I pray right now that we would be determined to represent you well. Help us to know who to talk to. Help us to know what to say. Help us to not hold us into ourselves. Help us to stand up for you. In Jesus' name. Now, I promised you at the beginning of this message that if you don't know God, if you don't know if he would find you, if he was looking for people that followed him, that I did have some good news. And the good news is this. We read it in John chapter 3, that he sent his son Jesus for you. That he made it possible that, yes, there is an end, and then there is judgment. But you, there is a way that he made that you can make a decision today that changes everything. You see, we often make the mistake that we think we're in charge of ourselves, that we can be good enough, that we can do enough good things, that we can do enough good deeds, and really, we find that there's emptiness inside. We have a God-shaped hole in our heart and our spirit. That whatever we use to try to fill that, whether it's relationships or substances or habits or whatever it is that we try to fix that, nothing seems to work and something seems to matter. Because the answer is this. You need Jesus. And only Jesus can satisfy. When Jesus was on this planet, he said, I have water that I can give you, living water, that you will never thirst again. He wasn't talking about literal water. He was talking about that hunger, that thirst that you have inside. Where is there more? Is there something else? And I just don't feel complete. That completeness is found in Jesus. And his promise is that with him we can experience life and to its fullest. See, where does fullness of life come from? It's not from being the best or having the best, but it is knowing who the best is. You see, it's surrender. It is acknowledgement. It is trust. It is saying, God, I need you. God, I want you. God, I'll obey you. I won't just know you. I'll obey you. And I'll help others find you. Exactly what we see in Noah's story today. Today can be the beginning of your journey. Your journey of saying, I'm removing myself from the driver's seat and I'm putting you, God, there in its place. Lead me and I will follow you. You may say, Pastor, I need this. I want this. What do I need to do? Simply talk to God. A prayer of decision, a prayer of acceptance, a prayer that says, I'm sorry, a prayer that says, I need you, a prayer that says, I will follow you. God, be in charge of me. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray with me, pray repeating after me as I lead you in a prayer of salvation, a prayer of decision. And while I pray and you repeat after me, you're not going to be alone because I'm going to invite the rest of our Hope Church family to pray as well. You see, no one prays alone. here at Lobos Church. So let's do this. Let's do this now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I need you in charge of me. Help me to follow you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.